This is March 12, 1995, the beginning of a question and answer session in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, my friends, good morning.
Good morning.
Before we begin the questions and the answers, I would like to talk a bit about the nature of the morning. And my suggestion for those of you that don't like question and answer sessions, Miss Franklin, among others, please understand that as we go through these questions, you are going to, if you are really tuned in to what's happening, you're going to experience an ever fluctuating up and down, up and down. Some of the questions will be high, some of the questions will not. It will be like this, you know? You do not have to rely on the questions. You do not have to rely on the answers. Those of you who have been with this work for any length of time know that there is nothing new to be added. This is simply the last opportunity to say whatever's just still creeping around in the back of your mind. I was asked, actually Mary Margaret was asked this morning, how to say goodbye. We will have a goodbye at the end. Obviously, if every one of you stands up and says goodbye, we'll never finish. Please understand that the nature of the questions are of the mind. And whenever words are spoken, they are of the mind. And I have told you repeatedly that the mind is the least effective way to know intuitive truth. Intuitive truth comes through the silence of the quiet of your being. It relies on nothing outside of itself to fulfill itself. It does not have to be understood in words. It does not have to be understood with the mind. In fact, one of the great traps is if your mind thinks it knows too much, you will never refer to the real teacher, which is the heart itself. Because the mind can confuse you and pretend that you are happy, that you are realized, when in fact you are still in separated pain. There are no words ever necessary. If the words help point to the truth, fine. But they are only pointers. And the reason that we are stopping is you do not need any more words. The truth is within, absolutely untouched by any confusion. Any confusion you have has been created by the filter of your mind. This is the truth. And if you are really willing for the as many remaining days you have in your life to just be silent and to allow truth to make its way into your reality, it will come. But if you presuppose that you know the answer, for example, when someone says, Bartholomew says, that is the end of the teaching right there. You understand? Never ever, Bartholomew says. If you believe it, it is your truth. If you don't believe it, don't blame me. Allow it to move. Allow yourself to come to full consciousness, to allow consciousness to fully emblazon its obvious presence upon all parts of your being, mental, physical, emotional. Just allow that to happen. Just allow that to happen. And realize that when you're relying on something outside of yourself, you're trapped. You're trapped into a limited belief of who you are or what you are. So I ask you, as we go through these questions today, that you remember this. You don't need anything. You don't need anything. None of you. None of you. And you certainly don't need this. You don't need anything. You and that which is your true nature are totally present, fully, fully, constantly. And this is what you need to remember. And this is why there does not need to be any sense of loss that this energy is moving to another whatever. Because what is within you is all that you need. And the more that you know that, day by day, moment by moment, the more that truth will reveal itself clearly, brightly, like a beacon within you. It will do it. So, we will go through the questions. But just remember, they're not important. Which is not to say we won't have some fun. You know, we'll have a good time. We'll go from one level to another, and you'll like it and you won't like it, and you'll want to leave and you'll have to stay until the break. And so I'd like to relieve your minds, those of you that want to leave. We're going to take a break, Ms. Franklin, if you could remind me, at about 10:30 so you could get out. All's well. Because there must come the moment that you know with all of your heart, I don't need another word. I don't need one more word. What I need is the stopping of words and the intuitive letting go into the silence of the moment which is ever present and that cannot be separate. That's all that's needed. So, with that as a background, let's start some of the questions. No, I have to go through these first, Mitch. I'm very orderly, except when I'm not. All right. This is an interesting question, because it's been asked before. I don't think it's been answered. Is it advisable or necessary to wait 7 days after the death of the body before cremation takes place? Does the too soon destruction of the body interfere with the complete separation of the soul from the body? The answer is, what do you believe? That's it. That's it. What do you believe? If you believe in a very complicated system of transference from one layer of consciousness to another, to another, to another, then with all certainty, you will experience that and you will go through those bardos or levels, and that will be your destiny. That will be your transition. Those of you who do not believe that, something different will take place. Please understand, it has to do with belief. It has to do with belief. I would like to suggest something really outrageous, especially in the face of all the bardo work, and just ask you to, when you're dying, to just shut up and relax. And just let what happens happen. To just not put the final regulation, I will only die if I do this and this. If you like the bardos, do them. But for heaven's sake, get yourself a real teacher. Don't play around. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's interesting material, working through the bardos, and it is not easily done. And I would say, without qualification, it takes a guide. It takes someone who knows what they're doing. So the difficulty is to dabble partway into it and to think that you are successful, only to be dying and think, oh, good grief, what was the third bardo? I've forgotten. What could it possibly be? What, you know, and all of this. If you're going to do it, I beg you to get yourself a qualified teacher and do it totally with all of your being. Does it work? Of course it works. Is it wonderful? Of course it is. But it isn't something you can do, you know, between breakfast and lunch. You know, one day a week. It is a way of being with energy itself. It's a way of understanding the movement of consciousness. Is it true? Yes. So, Marty and Bill, my answer to you is, what do the people that you're working with believe? If they believe that they need to have a certain length of time, so be it. But I want you to know that no belief can stop the movement of energy. Energy will do what it will. Once the senses let loose of energy, it does what it wants. The truth is, it does what it wants anyway. But when it's unconfused, with sensory input, it goes where it needs to go, according to the belief structure, until it gets just so far, and then it leaves belief behind. Aren't you glad? There is a moment when there is a full breaking away. This is why the Bardo teachings all lead to this. There is a total breaking away at one point where the energy just springs loose of all necessity to follow any mental constructs whatsoever. And it flows with the wings of liquid fire. And it will do what it must do.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you, too, for all these years. Will the end of the century and the present era be marked by the second coming of Christ? Again, I've been asked that. We'll see how it manifests. We'll see. No rules, no regulations. There's been a lot of prophecies. On the one side, wonderful. New teachings, Christ coming, so forth. On the other side, total destruction. You know, take your pick, you know, or do you stand in the middle? Or, but the point is, it doesn't matter. If you believe with all your being, or even a part of your being, on the clarity and truth of Christ consciousness, then that is the coming of Christ. That is the coming of Christ. Totally unrelated to what happens in the physical manifestation of any kind. The love of Christ and the manifestation of any of the great ones comes from the heart. And when you immerse yourself in that love, that awareness is present. So, moment by moment, there is the ever-present coming of Christ. For some people, 100 times a day, they experience the coming of Christ. Do you understand? Again, it's simply you. You plus vast, immense wonder, total potentiality. And if your heart is pulled toward Christ, that's as it will be. But remember, it's in you, moment after moment after moment. And what happens on a global scale, we'll see. You see, you have this idea, some of you, that everything is all organized and all played out. But the problem with that is, who are you going to believe? Because the different stories are very different, and they come from different places, and they reflect different truths. And I say, it doesn't matter. I say, it doesn't matter if there is a second coming of Christ, or if the Maitreya appears, or whatever. It doesn't matter. All of this can appear in you any moment. All you have to do is to be silent and be willing to allow it to appear in you in magnificent quiet. And that is the truth of it. But please, break free of this idea, all of you, that there is some kind of predictable future, irreversible. I told you again and again that what is clear here is that awareness is total potentiality, total potentiality, with all possibilities therein. Please don't limit it. Don't limit it. And don't limit its working with you. Just allow yourself to know that you don't know anything. Stop thinking that you know something. And just be willing to not know anything. And in not knowing anything, you allow everything to be revealed to you. Just being willing. Teach me. Teach me. That's it. Teach me. Nothing else needed. Teach me. If I'm stubborn and can't learn, then knock me down. Somehow find me. Somehow find me. But that kind of surrender comes from the knowing that you don't know. If your mind says, I know, you're finished. Because whatever you know is not it. Whatever I say is not it. I have told you since we began. We opened our mouth and we started telling lies. because all of the words are limitations. They go through your mental, emotional, and physical process, and they result in confusion. There's only one reliable truth, and that is in the silence of your being that transcends all words. Available now. Available now. With just the willingness to set aside the knowledge of the ego and just to really know. Many people want enlightenment only if it comes the way they think it should come. True. And if it starts to come in another way, oh, no, this isn't what I had in mind. You think I'm fooling? I'm speaking truth. There went some truth right on the floor. What is this energy Christians call the Holy Spirit? How is it different from or the same as consciousness talking to consciousness? No difference. Different name. Different name. Fine. It's a wonderful name. But it's just a name. The Holy Spirit is consciousness in motion. Awareness is consciousness stilled. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit is consciousness in motion. Awareness in motion. What awareness is consciousness stilled with no motion. And it's in that stillness that your truth is crystal clear. The nature of your being is crystal clear. If it's in motion, it creates tidal waves. So someone says, but I can't stop my mind. And I said, I would never dream of asking you to stop your mind. Just be quiet and allow the mind to take a breath. Allow the mind to let go. Allow the mind to cease to chase itself. Just be willing for a moment. Do you know how to stop your mind? Of course not. Just be willing to be quiet and see what happens. See what happens. Feel what happens. Be aware of what happens. Consciousness still is awareness. The other way, awareness in motion is consciousness. Holy Spirit, same thing. Same thing. I'm interested in explanation of what you mean when you say that we are multidimensional beings. Also, thank Paul for me. Oh, it's very simple. You know the answer, all of you. You see it constantly in your own life. Are you really the same person every moment? Or are you not different from person to person, hour to hour, event to event? Do you not change all the time? You are multidimensional, not only in the moment, in action, in the world, but you also have as access these magnificent, wondrous other states of awareness that are constantly present in this moment. And that's what I mean by multidimensional. That you are not limited to seeing things and knowing things through the senses. That you have the capability of being in touch with truth through your intuitive being, which has nothing to do with your mental process. It is that I keep referring to. You will find that you have much more in you and around you than you ever dreamed. Multidimensional. Part of that, of course, is your dream nature. Part of that is your emotional, your mental, and so forth, but far exceeding that, multidimensional, marvelous. There is nothing in creation, in consciousness, that is separate from you. Why? Not you as me, but you as I. Do you know the difference? I'm not speaking of Mary Margaret. I'm speaking about the difference between me and I. You run around and say, me, 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 me. Well, that's the ego. That's not you. That's a temporary aberration. It's a temporary conclusion. It's a temporary situation. And when you become aware, as we've talked, you know, here we go again, you are consciousness itself. You have identified yourself as an object in that consciousness and said, I am Barbara. That is not true. There's an object in consciousness called Barbara that you have identified with, no question. But consciousness itself is not limited, has never been, could never be limited to something that dies. Consciousness is eternal, and that is your true nature. So if you just keep remembering that all that you have done is to identify yourself as a subject when you really are an object. As Barbara, you are an object. As consciousness, you are subject. Do you understand that? Do you? Would you raise your hand if you understand that? Thank you. It's very simple. Just stop identifying with this object that is your physical body. Just stop identifying constantly with this physical object that is me, 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 me. How do you know when you're moving along the path of clarity? You don't say me every other sentence. Check yourself. If you spend all of the day and that word slips in constantly, think again. You've misidentified. You need to understand that you are the subject of all objects, one object of which is Barbara, is you, is Mary Margaret, is whoever. Got it? The more you are willing to stop saying, I am Dale, and just allow yourself to wonder, who am I really? What am I really? It will come. Simple question. The willingness to stop this constant identification with the limited, ever-changing me. And to break through into the willingness to know I. Someone says, yes, but I don't want to lose my me. I say, well, then we'll catch you next time. Because you see, they've misidentified. They think that by becoming the I, by becoming everything, now think about this, by becoming everything, you stop being yourself. Think again. Think about this. If you become everything, do you cease to be yourself? Or is it not possible that you continue to have this experience of yourself, but in a far more magnificent way? A far vaster reaching, never-ending, marvelous awakening to the fullness of all consciousness, which is what you are. Stop identifying with yourself as a limited object. Just stop pretending that you are the subject of your universe, meaning you as ego are the subject of your universe. That's what you think now, isn't it? Everybody else are objects in your universe, aren't they? Well, think about it. Isn't that what you say? Everybody else is an object in your universe. Well, the joke is you're an object in their universe. But the biggest joke is you're both objects in consciousness itself, which is universal awareness. Just put that in the mind. Let it filter through. Don't worry about it. Let's not make this a problem, this pretending to wake up. Let's not make it a problem. Or we're endlessly caught. Just remember this. You are an object. When you say me, object. Object. When you're willing to let go of me, what manifests is I. And what is I? Consciousness itself in motion. And then the final stage, consciousness in stillness as awareness itself. This is why we ask you to be still. To know the awareness of your own being in the stillness of each moment. Nothing fancy, just be still. And let it be. Let being be, without name, without the me. Do you know something? You will be so much happier without the me. Because within the me is the guilt and the fear and the limitation, the identification with loss, separation, pain, suffering, all of that. Be willing to experience something far vaster than your mind wants you to experience. Do you think your mind wants to set you free? Why would your mind want to? It's having a great time. But the mind, just like children, eventually has to lay down and go to sleep. And every night it lays down and goes to sleep. And you awaken the next day. You said a wonderful night's sleep and say, what do you mean? If you're being honest, you say, I didn't think one thought all night long. That's what that means. No dreams, no bad dreams, no confusing dreams, no boring dreams. Just no thought. And in that state of no thought, you say, wonderful. Wonderful. Just be willing. Be willing to know. Stop hypnotizing yourselves. We'll get to you, Mitch. This is from a licensed social worker. Please ask about spirit depossession. There's some therapists who claim that at some time in our lives, most of us have earthbound spirits attracted to us, creating symptoms. These clinicians claim to get remarkable results. I don't want to be gullible or silly in my work, but neither do I want to reject unconventional and effective therapies. Do I understand them accurately, that in past life recall regression, that we could be tapping the pain, not our pain? Well, you may think this is a strange question, but actually, a lot of people have asked this one. This is the reason for today, to get all of these out of the way so you never have to ask another question. The next time you're prompted to ask a question, ask yourself, who's thinking this thought? Who wants to know? What's the truth here? Do I really need this answer in order to be happy? Or does my happiness lie somewhere beyond all questions? One of the greatest delights in any workshop is to see, finally, when your minds stop. They just relax. Because they realize that their mind is not going to get the answer. That's the reason for all this wind, all these years. Just no words. But the answer to this is, what do you believe? Isn't it boring? You see, this is the answer to every question. What do you believe? If you believe, listen, this is truth. You know, there are lots of people who believe in the devil. And they manifest dreams of the devil. They see the devil appearing in other people, rarely in themselves, interestingly, but outside and around and here and there, popping up here and there. Why? Because like attracts like. I've told you that the focus of your thoughts brings to you what you're focusing on. If you have been trained, or if you enjoy the idea of a devil, if the devil makes sense to you, then for you, guess what? There it is. There is one. But my question is, who is this person who's worried about the devil or worried about possession? Is there such a thing as possession? Many people believe it, and that is the result. But it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. Because even in, let us say that someone believes themselves to be possessed. If they really believe this, they will do something to get depossessed. And they will find someone in their universe who can come forward and help them with this. At which time, they lose the possession, they're better. Was this real? Well, to them it was. It was their experience. But the truth is, that with all of this action, one of which is pretending to be possessed by the devil or whatever, the truth is that the deepest awareness is possible in the midst of all these beliefs. You don't have to stop believing in the devil. Just say, who is this that believes in the devil? Don't ask, who is the devil? That's one step removed. Keep it to yourself. Who is this person who believes in the devil? Who is it that believes they're possessed? Who is it? Because all of these things are simply things you do in life until you wake up. Some people get possessed and get unpossessed. Some people do the dispossessing. Some people do the regressing. It's all what you do until the moment that you wake up. I've told you, all of this living is just what you do until you wake up. And everybody does something different. And nothing is more important than anything else. It's all just action. Consciousness in action, going from one polarity to another. I'm possessed, now I'm not possessed. So my answer is, if someone believes they are, by all means, go and get depossessed. By all means. But this question still remains, who is it that's possessed? Who is it that's not possessed? Who is it? Who are you? Who are you sitting here so quietly? Who are you? Chattering mind? Limited consciousness? What? What? Bodies that decay and die? That's who you are? How boring. How unnecessary and how boring. Find out who you are. That's all I'm asking. Find out. You don't know. You don't know. Just shut up and find out. That's it. That's all we ever need to say. Just be still and know. It's the first and the last teaching. Be still and know. That's all. And in the midst of this, we have possession and depossession and goodness and badness and polarities. Consciousness moves in polarities, I've told you. Consciousness is a polarity motion from one thing to another, which is why in action you can't hang on to anything. You know, you lose your body, you lose your mind, you lose your friends, you lose your figure, you lose your health, you lose your money. Eventually, you're going to lose it all. And this question still remains, what is left over after I've lost everything? Quite frankly, so you lose everything today. What's left over after you've lost everything? Is there nothing there? What remains after you've lost everything that you've identified with, that you thought you were? What happens? Well, some people use this as a yoga. They say, all right, I'm going to lose everything so I can find out what's left. They're called yogis. And does it work? Of course it works. They lose everything, they forget everything, and they just sit there and they just get so bored that they wake up. They bore themselves. Don't you think this is a legitimate path? Bore them into awakening? Absolutely. You know, some of your lives are really boring. And some of each one of your lives is boring. There's not any of you that are constantly smiling, happy, excited. Or is there a secret here that I don't know? The consciousness is that that's what happens. Sometimes you're bored, sometimes you're not. So, instead of getting your life into a frenzy, I suggest that you just bore yourself into God. Just be so bored. We have, you know, the yoga of boredom. It's just be quiet and be with your boring. Be bored. Find out who is boring. Who is bored? What's going on? Don't start a whole drama in order to confuse yourself, only to come back again to the same question. Again and again, you do this. You create endless drama. Well, don't you? Endless drama. I'll find out because, you see, you believe that when you suffer, you will find God. Yes, you will. There's no question. If that's the way you want to do it, you can do it through boredom. You can do it through joy. You can do it through joy. How do you do it through joy? Just by shutting up and allowing the joy that is constantly present in your consciousness to be felt by you. It is there, not separate. Joy. I use the word bliss of being on purpose. The bliss that passes all understanding, that has nothing to do with your senses, that has something to do with a different order of things. Any thoughts for those of us who are teaching to avoid traps? Yes, realize that you're not doing anything. Any thoughts for those of us who are teaching to avoid traps? Yes, you're not doing anything. Something is being done through you. I said this at the beginning, and people, if they had had rotten tomatoes, would have chosen to throw them. I said, life is living you. And you have the limited idea that you were in control of your life. If you look at this just slightly, you will understand clearly that is not the truth. Endlessly, things happen to you that you never dreamed of. They come flying out of the wings. So where did you come from? And then some wise person will say, well, you created it. And you go, I'm not crazy enough to have created this. Meaning that on your limited ego sense, you wouldn't have dreamed of creating it. But creation happens in your life in an appropriate pattern for your awakening. That is the truth. Creation happens in your life in the appropriate way to awaken you. It's not how you think it is. It's not how you wish it is. It's how it is. And when you just relax into this is it, this is manifesting. If you want to be in control and pretend you're in control, fight by all means, go ahead. But understand the frustration of that. Understand the frustration of realizing that consciously you would not have created a disaster in your life. But there is a wisdom in creative consciousness that moves through all of your lives. And it is that creative consciousness that decides. You implement it, no question about it. No question about it. But my question to you is, when you have a desire in your life, who is it that's desiring? Did you hear me? When you have a desire in your life, I desire to create X in my life, I want you to question, who is it that is desiring? Isn't it true that desires just descend upon you? Sometimes, isn't it true? You're sitting there having tea or coffee or whatever your personal addiction is. And all of a sudden, you have a desire. You know, you don't get up in the morning and say, well, today I'm going to create a desire to do. Desires come upon you. And they take you up and they carry you. My question is, what is the nature of this desire? Where does it come from? You, as separate me, person, are secondary to the original. Do you get this? Or do you get it?
Yes.
Do you? Look, it's so simple. You think you do it. I'm asking you to relax and find out. Do you do it? Or is it being done through you in a magnificent patterning that you would never dream of? For example, those of you who have read the latest book, which has to do with the trip in India, endlessly Mary Margaret said, if I had known, I never would have done this. I never would have taken all these people on this really dangerous trip. I wouldn't have dreamed of it. She didn't dream of it. It was dreams in her. This is where you Australians are onto it. The dream time. It's dreamed through you. is dreamed through you. It is desired through you. The way that I know that you will all awaken is because you desire to awaken. And when you say, I desire to awaken, this means that consciousness itself has said, I have decided to return to awakened awareness. When you say, I want to know God, that means that consciousness has decided to awaken to its true nature, not your limited body-mind mechanism. It's not what I'm talking about. So the minute that you've had this thought, I want to really know, I know you will know. And your limited body-mind cannot stop it. Because it is consciousness, do you understand? It is consciousness that says, all right, just a minute. Good morning, Richard. It is consciousness that has decided to turn itself back inward into consciousness and to understand what it is. It is as if you're looking in a mirror and all of a sudden you realize, I'm tired of the reflection, I want to know what's inside. So the minute people say, how can you be so sure we will all awaken? I know it, because you as consciousness, not as limited body-mind, have said, I want it. And what consciousness wants, consciousness gets. Why? Because it is the creative principle, that's why. And when it wants it, it finds it. It turns in on itself, away from its outside fascination, and says, finally, I want to know what I am. I want to know what this conscious living is. I want to know what this feeling of life is. I want to know. And the minute you ask, you're on your way home. Are there any questions about that? Anything at all about that? Yes. Could you stand and belt it out, please? Belt it.
Well, I'm a little confused. Having watched the ice skaters last night, how beautiful they were. The difference here between the artistic path, which seems to be determined by goals that are set, distance between desires that are offward. And between the moment, and you're talking about desires here, and to me they come in the form of, I want to write a novel, I want to make a great masterpiece painting, but that confuses me as to what to do in the moment, which doesn't often have to do with the great painting, but as it was more with being, or, you know, Is it that you're supposed to wait every moment for that?
Look, you're splitting things into two compartments. Repeat the question, says Miss Franklin. Well, I don't know if I can. Let's just put it as briefly as I can, which is there a difference between an artistic desire, which takes years to fulfill, and a moment by moment? What is the difference? All I would say to you is don't split yourself in half. Don't split yourself into parts. If you as body mind have been ignited with the thought of writing, then you will write. It will happen. It is creativity itself that plays through the body mind. We're back to who do you believe you are. Now, the artists have an advantage, but they have a terrible disadvantage as well. Because the advantage is obvious, they fall into their work and they lose themselves in it. They lose their small self in the vaster moment of creativity. And that's wonderful. They also have a downside, because the ego loves to grab that creation on the other end of it. When the creation has come out, it says, oh, look what I did. Oh, my. Do all artists have this voice? No. Do some of them? Of course. So with any creative endeavor, the question you have to ask honestly is, as I am creating this, have I determined in any way how great an artist am I going to be? Or is it something God-given, if you will? You see, everything is God-given, including your boredom, including your pain and suffering, including all of it. It is all consciousness-given.
given to body-mind by consciousness. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's all the same piece, my friend. There's no, doesn't matter on the linear scope of things. All I say to you is, in the moment, when you have an inspiration, you're inspired. The next moment, you're not. But the what is always present, even in your not being inspired. Are you any different? Is there any difference in the awareness that is aware of being inspired and the awareness that is aware of being bored? Is there a difference? Are you different? Your feeling, your response is different, you know, you're excited or you're bored. But my question is, you're missing the obvious. You're missing the I. You're missing what is always happening. You have the same experience of self when you were bored as you do when you were not bored. And you're missing it because you're paying attention to whether you feel good or whether you don't. You're missing it. This is so close, you're missing. It is so familiar, you're missing. You're looking for something foreign from another planet or from another level of consciousness. You'll never find it that way. It is here and it is now. It is here and it is now. Midge.
It wasn't so much a question that I wanted to ask. It was, you were talking about the no longer having a need for words.
Yes.
And my thought was that I don't come here so much for the words anymore as I do for sharing the energy.
Yes.
So is this a legitimate, I'll make a question out of that. Is this a legitimate feeling?
Not only is legitimate, it's the only, this is what we hoped for everyone. I think most of you would agree. You've had about all you need of the words. You know, how much more can we say? What other way? You know, finished. But what people are crying over when they feel the loss is the loss of the energy. This is what they mourn. They don't mourn all the rat-a-tat-a-tat. They mourn that feeling. And what I want to say to all of you in this room that have the slightest sorrow over the leaving of this energy, my question is, where could I possibly go? Where, you know, am I going to go to Neptune? Is that my next assignment? Do I have my passport, you know? What, you have to really look at this and to realize, and I'm not just talking about this, I'm talking about any teaching or teacher who leaves the earth plane in one form or other. What you don't miss the words, you miss the power of the love. Yes, you miss the love. Yes, yes, yes. But you have separated and said the love has to be when this body mind is present, and that is where you're caught. And so we leave so you will clarify this. Some of you will take longer than others. Some of you are tough. Tough. But eventually, you will, if you wish, if you yearn, if you long for that love to be felt in your body, you will silence down until you find it. And when you find it, you will know the truth. That it has never been separate. It never depended on this body, mind, and all these words, and all this ta-da-ta-da. It never has. And I ask you not to have any feeling other than the knowledge that as your good friend, would I leave if there was the slightest good I could do by remaining? I mean, I ask you, if this is a compassionate teaching, and I hope that you have recognized that it is, would this compassion leave at a time that it was needed? What kind of a response is that? That's like when your children are in the worst trouble, you say, well, I'm off to the Caribbean. Have a miserable time. Do you believe this thing you call Bartholomew is capable of that? Do you believe it? What do you believe? Either you continue to trust that love is present and that you can find it, or you find another source of love. Fine. My only stipulation is, if you find another source of love, make sure it's bigger than this one. Deeper, vaster, wider. Don't go backwards. Don't go into limitation. Don't go into identification. Don't go into projection. Don't go into giving your power away. Stay. It's with you. It is you. You are it. That's what I'm asking. And any teaching that does not reflect that is not a true teaching. Mr. Tome.
You used the example a moment ago about leaving your children in distress and going to the Caribbean. And you asked if I believed that you would do something, or Bart would do something like that. I actually believe that Bart would do something like that if it would further our spiritual growth and be the right thing.
Okay. Okay. It wasn't on the tape. All right. It was just stated that maybe Bartholomew would leave if it was to be better for you. But you understand what I mean, don't you? I mean, I understand Mr. Tomei's statement, but do you understand what I'm saying? That there would be no way that this leaving would be done to leave you bereft. You know, so if you're feeling bereft, it's because you're thinking. Right? Is that an understanding here? If you're feeling bereft, you're thinking, oh, Bartholomew's gone, it's not here, it's gone, it's not here, I'm lonely, I'm alone. What is all that? Thinking. Just stop it. Stop it, stop it. Stop thinking. Be still and know. Don't get taken in by this visual attraction. Really. Stop it. If you are in misery because of the loss, you're thinking. You have a concept in your mind. And I ask you, if you are in pain, then you use that pain to go inside and find that place where pain does not anywhere exist, where there is nothing but the bliss of consciousness itself. Just go and find it. Don't sit outside and moan and groan. Don't sit outside of your own experience and feel sorry for yourself. Just be quiet and go and find what you're looking for now. If you don't find it, you're not looking. You know, I know this. If you're looking, you will find it. I mean, you know, if you don't trust me, trust Christ, right? He has a much longer line with you here of lineage, of truth. So let's talk about that. You know, seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open. He didn't say knock and 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 knock. Finally, God will hear you and say, yeah, what do you want? It's now. So just trust Christ. Just trust Christ. Trust Christ. Trust. Trust the Buddha if you have trouble with Christ. Trust the Buddha. What does he say? He says, well, it's up to you. 7 years, 7 months, 7 weeks, 7 days, 7 hours, 7 minutes, or right now. Trust. If you're lonely and unhappy in your life, forget about Bartholomew. Just say you're sitting in your living room and you're sucking your thumb metaphorically because you're all alone and you think that you need somebody to knock on your door or to ring your telephone. I will tell you, you are thinking, and in your thinking mind, you are separate. So be quiet, stop thinking, and experience what's there for you. Experience the absolute light and power and beauty and wonder of what is constantly present that could never go anywhere. Where would it go? Oh, I'm going to find my true nature. Well, where shall I start? Well, I'll look at somebody else first. They're bound to have my true nature. Think about it. Use your wonderful minds. You know, I've said again and again, and I need to say it again today because some of you I will not see again. And one of the things that is so wonderful is working with you is that you all have very good minds. And someone with a very good mind, if they have the intention, can look at themselves and have a good laugh. And this is what I'm asking you, to have a good laugh at yourself. If you are feeling lonely, scared, separated, you are thinking. Aren't you? When you're not thinking, you're not scared. You're just there. So what's happening? What's happening is the thinking mind brings up images that you project and you respond to in fear. And you feel fear inside of yourself. Stop thinking. Even moment to moment to moment, projecting into the next moment. Oh, next year is going to be worse than this year. Whatever it might be. All of that. You lay in bed at night. Oh, my! I'm going downhill. I'm going to get this and this and this. Stop it. Stop it. Yes, sir.
Actually, Ms. Burke.
No, I know that. Would you stand up so we could hear you?
Would I be correct in thinking that everything that you're talking about, we already know, we already have an understanding of, the comfort lies when we get an affirmation of it?
That's wonderful. Did you hear? It's beautiful. He said, is it just that we're saying that you know what you know and that comfort lies in getting an affirmation? Okay. Are you ready? I am affirming that. All right? Any doubt you have from now on is your own problem. The true nature of your being has been absolutely reflected again and again and again. Those of you that have been coming here endlessly, what have you been told? That you are that. That you have been seen clearly through all the way to the depth of your being. No confusion with body-mind. You have been seen. So stop worrying about it and just be silent and let your true being manifest. Yes?
When you leave, are you also leaving Mary Margaret?
What a question. When I leave, am I also leaving Mary Margaret? Now let's think about this. If it was possible for the eye of Mary Margaret to leave, where would it go? You see, the problem with pretending to be Bartholomew and putting a label on it has separated Bartholomew from consciousness. What would have been an appropriate name instead of Bartholomew was consciousness, but what a funny name, you see? But the truth is, there's no difference between consciousness and that which you call Bartholomew. And since Mary Margaret and you are both objects within consciousness, that you could not exist without consciousness, that you are that, awash in it, there is never anywhere any of you can go to get away from consciousness. And this whole experience of Bartholomew has been consciousness speaking. That's all. So the question is wonderful. And the answer is, there's no way to separate consciousness. If Mary Margaret chooses to pretend to be separate, then she will suffer. If she chooses to not, then she will be immersed in the bliss of the truth of consciousness. It's up to all of you. Where would I go? You know, I'm not a spook. You know, we pretend that. We call this the windy spook, you know, we have a lot of fun. But in truth, it's not true. This is simply consciousness speaking to consciousness. That's all. And this identification of Bartholomew as separate from consciousness is what can cause fear. And then Bartholomew as separate can go somewhere. But the truth of it is, my lovely friend, there's no place to go. And there's nothing to be done except to allow that. If Mary Margaret chooses to separate, of course she will suffer. She will suffer. If she doesn't, she won't. The rules are no different for her than they are for you. I've told you from the beginning, God has no favorites. God has no favorites. None. Mary Margaret knows this well. Someone said to her, well, you should be the first one to awaken because you're the one that had to do all this work. Come on. She knows that's not true. She knows that's not true. Amma.
You are with me much of the time, and I'm very aware of it. And what I seem to want now is just a blast of your attention so that I can really hear what you have with me.
I'm happy to blast you with attention. Happy to. Happy to. But my darling one, never lose sight that while I'm blasting you, I'm blasting them. That while I'm blasting the front row, I'm blasting the ones in the balcony. That while the eye is blasting anything, it is total. Awareness has no favorites. So I'm happy to pretend that we need to do it this way. Happy to, but the truth is, it's always there. And the more that you can really know that, just to be still and to know it's there, you will find it. It will manifest for you. Understand. This is why you don't have to sit in the front row. My goodness, what a limited teaching that can't get past the front row. You know? So let's just open it up. You know? Open it up. Maybe in wide and vast. Who knows? It may even spill over outside. Be dangerous business, you know? Excuse me, yes.
Mary Margaret, Bart, it's...
No problem.
It's happening, and I find that 20, 30, 40 times a day, I keep affirming and asking, yes, I want to awaken, and it's happening.
I'm glad.
Everything that you say now, I understand. 2 years, 3 years ago, when I listened to the tapes, I missed most of it, and now
most people did.
But now I seem to get it all. So I understand. Yeah, there's no need for you to be here anymore.
Right. But here comes the but. But yes.
Well, I always thought, and here we're into thinking. You know that this enlightenment.
You heard him.
This is thinking.
That's thinking.
Thought that enlightenment hit you like a lightning bolt. Bam!
It can.
It doesn't. For me, it's being a gradual sort of a process.
Of course.
Okay. When I meditate, every now and then, for just a few moments at a time, I tap into this thing that you talk about. What I'm going to miss. Is that when I come to a group like this, there's a group energy here, and I feel, like you said, being blasted. And there is this warmth, this comfort, this letting go, this being able to tune into the me so much more easily than when I'm by my little self.
But you see, my friend, thank you for the question. The question is it easier to do this tuning in and letting go and feeling the love in the presence of a group and in the presence of this? It is true because your belief is that it is true. There are endless numbers of people who believe the opposite, who believe that you tune in only when you are alone and in silence. And then you have, rising out of that belief, all of the monasteries, all of the nunneries, all of the recluses, all of the hermits, and so forth. And they arise out of the opposite belief. The truth of it is, if you believe you need a group, get yourself a group. If you believe that you need to be in some joint situation, then I ask you to find one. It depends on your belief. If your belief is that you can do it quietly in your own home, then it can happen. But my friend, the reason I love the question is it reflects the truth and the power of belief. So don't fight your belief. If your belief is you need a gang around you, then find a gang. I've told you endlessly, find out what you believe, what you need, and then go get it.
But what if you don't believe it?
Well, fine, then don't believe anything. You don't need to believe anything. But if you do believe that you need something, get it. Don't fool yourself. If you feel you need another teacher, get another teacher. Get what you want, but be honest with yourself. Don't sit there alone. You see, the wonderful thing is you know what you believe now. Now, all you have to do is decide if you want to continue that belief or whether it's pretty limiting. Because you see, if you can do it alone and in groups both, don't you have an advantage? You see, it's a belief that's limiting you. It's a limited belief, and many people have it. And why do they have it? Because some of their first experience of raw energy is in a group. Isn't it? You get together and wow. So, you give the group the credit, you give the group the power, you take it away from yourself, and now then you have to continue going out every once a week to a group, or once a month, or whatever it is. All of this is limitation. Honestly, total limitation. But find out what you believe. If you believe you need something to awaken, go get it. If you believe that you cannot awaken if you eat pork, stop eating pork. If you believe you need it, eat it. Whatever you believe, be honest to your belief. That's the point. Don't fool yourself. Be truly honest to that belief. Don't muss it over with, well, I don't need anything. Find out. Some of you have a very deep belief that if you don't meditate, you'll never awaken. So then meditate. So meditate. At whatever cost. At whatever cost. Be true to yourself. That's the point. Don't listen to anybody else's rules. What are your rules? Live with your own rules. Eric?
I believe that there's a cure for all disease. Is consciousness a disease of the awareness?
No. Consciousness is not a disease of the awareness. Consciousness is awareness in motion. Out of that motion comes the polarity of the world where you have illness and wellness. Polarities. The end to all illness is to wake up to consciousness itself. And to know that illness can be present and it doesn't matter. Wellness can be present and it doesn't matter. That everything in the duality can be present or absent, and it doesn't matter. Because what matters, what gives the bliss of living, is the life of consciousness itself. None of the manifestations of consciousness give you happiness. It is the consciousness itself, the bliss of what you would call the force of life. And in that force of life, there could be illness, there could be wellness. It doesn't matter, Eric. And the end to all dis-ease is the knowledge of who you are. And will your disease continue? Well, you may still be sick, but the dis-ease will have gone. You will be in the presence of ease. You will be filled with ease all the time. In the midst of dis-ease, of illness, it doesn't matter. Look at the great ones. We've talked to you about this again and again. Look at their lives. What a mess. These awakened ones, you know, illnesses here and there and maltreatment and people picking on them and, you know, making, you know, hanging them on crosses and killing them and all this business, endlessly. They were awakened, but that didn't mean that illness ended. But they know that illness doesn't matter. It's simply what manifestation is going on in consciousness at the moment. That's it. That's it. But until you know that, illness can just grab you and take you down. This is why I say the only answer to any of your pains is to wake up. And that's even false, because you are already awake. I've told you to shut your eyes and see if you can find somebody asleep in there. Is there somebody asleep in there? Oh. Well, what does this mean? You have to really be willing to examine the contents of your own belief structure so that you can free yourself of all these impediments. And I want to free yourself of the impediment of needing Bartholomew. Do not make all of these years of sharing an impediment. Please. Do you understand the heart of what I'm saying? If this has been an impediment, then we should never have started. Don't make it harder than it is. This is all so simple. Knowing your true nature is so easy. Pretending to be something else is so difficult. Pretending to be a person with a continuous stream of thoughts, with a continuous thought system, with a continuous body system, with a continuous response system. You realize you change your mind every time there's a pause in the conversation. How can you possibly believe there is a continuity in your thinking mind? You know that your emotions are up and down and up and down. How can there be a continuity in all of that? But yet you know, and here I'm going to yell a little bit into this microphone, but yet you know in the midst of all of this, there is something that is always the same, that never has changed, that never could change. What is it? Don't name it. Be aware of it. The ego likes to just give it a name. Oh, it's your true nature. Oh, that's good. What else is new? You know, the way the ego works is to put a name on it and pretend that it's real and that you understand it and that you're missing. What is it that is present in you constantly that never changes in spite of your mood or your life or what's happening? What is that? You understand and identify yourself as that. You say, I. And that I is the same. Constantly, whether you're happy or sad, the I does not change. You awaken in the morning, you don't say, am I the same I that went to sleep last night? You know. What is that continuum? Please, ladies and gentlemen, point to it. In your being, now, what is it? It is so familiar, so ever-present, so perfectly, fully there that you've missed it. And I'm asking you to stop missing. If you are missing anything, you're thinking. Barbara, there's be a break in 5 minutes. Hang on.
Are there levels in consciousness? Many years ago, you said, when you find that you're left your body, beloved powers, take me as far and as fast as I can go. To me, that meant to a level.
Now, this is why we're going to stop talking, Barbara. Barbara says that I, consciousness, pretending to be separate from Barbara, said, when you die, say, take me as far as I can go. Well, this is why we're going to stop talking, Barbara, because if you want to use your mind, of course there are levels. Of course there are bardos and levels and awarenesses and higher consciousness and lower consciousness and great ones and smaller ones. Yes, of course, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, in the midst of all of this constantly changing levels, the shift of levels, for example, you shift your level every night you go to bed, you fall into the lap of awareness itself every night when you sleep without dream. When you have that part of the night that is deep sleep, you are in the arms of awareness itself. You are awareness itself at that moment. That's what you are. And then you rise into action, and that is consciousness. And you become aware of yourself and the world. The minute you wake up, the world arises with you. Here it comes. So on one level, I could say yes. But Barbara, the prayer and the hope and the possibility is constant right now to just find out awareness itself, present in this moment, without levels, present in all levels, fully alive in all levels, including this one, totally including this one. No need to go anywhere to a different level. It takes a lot of energy to go to a different level, you know? But it doesn't take any energy to just be still and be where you are. How hard is that? To just stop and be where you are. But this constant, I want to go to a higher level, I'm going to create a higher level. People say to me, when are we going to create bodies of light? Well, don't worry about the bodies of light. Just find out what's going on with this one. What is this one? What is this one made of?
Now.
Now. What is it? And when you discover it, you will discover it is nothing separate from light itself. So why are you going to create a light body when that's what you already are? You know, you're going to a lot of trouble because your mind has said, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do it right, I have to do it wrong. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. The teaching is too simple. But you see, if we told you to go out and do things, because, you know, that's part of paths, too. They say, go out and do this and do that and do the other. Well, then you go out and do them. But then what do you discover? You discover one day that you wake up, you say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And you stop doing that. And now you believe that because you're not doing that, you're not going to wake up. This is why paths are traps, including this one. All paths, if they are used in that way, are traps. Because they say to you a falsehood, that you have to do something to be who you are. Stop it. Would you talk that way to anybody? Well, go find out who you are. Find out who you really are. Somebody else must know. Stop. Just stop. You are. That you know. What is the one thing that you absolutely know? No question about it. Is that something that you have identified as I is present in this moment, in this moment. That's all you know. When you're going to be released to go to the bathroom, you don't know. But this you know. That's what we point to. You know it, so stop it. Pretending that you don't. Wandering around looking for yourself in other places, in other people, in things, in ideas, in books, in concepts. Stop it. You're not a concept. You are not an idea in anybody's mind. You are. You are. You are also free to go to the bathroom. So then, a written question. Mercy? Where's Mercy? I'm not going to answer the first part because it's on the tape from the workshop. But the second part is... If consciousness is, quote, doing it, where does our blueprint come in? Did consciousness also create the blueprint? What do you think? Who else? Who else could have? The blueprint is not done with your conscious mind. The blueprint isn't done with your fears. The blueprint is done from the depths of awareness itself, which knows what is the maximum expression that you need to fulfill in a lifetime. That does not come from a limited body mind, which believes it is subject to all kinds of disasters. The body mind does not know the nature of totality and awakening. The body mind does not know how to awaken. Consciousness does. And consciousness, when it says, I'm ready, then it happens in its own good time. Someone asks, can we do anything to hurry it on? And my answer is, no. But if you don't do anything, nothing may happen either. How many of you are angry at that answer? Look, let's go through this very simply. Suppose a consciousness one day wakes up and says, I am tired of believing myself to be a limited being. I am ready to experience myself as pure conscious awareness itself, full of bliss. All right? So consciousness, since it's the only creative principle, now has, for its own great delight and joy, made the decision to turn inward and to awaken to its own truth. If, in the blueprint of your life, if it is your destiny to awaken, it will be in the blueprint and you will become inspired to awaken. I mean, people ask me, why isn't everybody ready to awaken? And the answer is, they're not ready. Another way, they haven't played enough. They want to go back and play some more. They want to be powerful. They want to be gorgeous. They want to be handsome. They want to be wealthy. They want to be, want to be, want to be. All right? So they continue to want to be. And finally, one moment you decide, I don't want to be. I don't want to be in a particular way. I want to be who I am. And I want to know the bliss of my being. I want to know that. And the minute consciousness makes that statement, then, you see, it is not, you don't just fall into this by luck, you know, that you just are lucky that you wanted to awaken. You know, you're just one of the lucky ones. It was there all the time. Consciousness then, awakening to its own desire to awaken, to its deeper meaning. Consciousness is awareness in action, in motion. That is a very different sense of feeling than awareness in its stillness. And you know it. You feel different when you're in action than when you're in stillness, don't you? I mean, it's a very different feeling when you are still and when you're in action. Both are marvelous. And consciousness, wanting to experience its fullness instead of just this addiction with action, decides to experience itself as silent completeness. Silent completeness. And when does consciousness wants it? Everything turns in that direction. And then out of your life begin to arise strange things that point you in that direction. And if you just follow them along, and they awaken you one level, deeper and deeper, until one moment you know no more levels. This is why it's really, I think, very unfortunate that anyone judges anyone else